With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello. Hello.
And welcome to Stalking Time,
For the Moon Boys.
Yes, welcome to that.
It's good to be back, isn't it?
Yeah, is this the first one of the new year?
Yeah.
Is it, though?
One's been out. Yeah. But we recorded it before Christmas, didn't we?
Yeah, but then the second one, didn't that go out after Christmas?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but we recorded it before Christmas.
Yeah, I know, but the question is this the first one that we're addressing the nation? And I say the nation, but I mean eight people. In 2020,
It's the second.
Okay.
But the first one we've actually done
so
in 2020.
Ruined any sense of moment.
What did you want to say to the nation?
Happy New Year.
Oh, I see.
Happy New Year to the nation. Yeah. I had a thing I was going to talk to you about, but I'm going to begin by discombobulating you.
Okay.
I think, and telling you something which I feel like, you know, I have to tell you. I just have to, you know, full disclosure. I'm afraid yesterday I was rung up by Faye Ripley. Do you know Faye Ripley?
Yeah.
Of Cold Feet. And she said the word, would you like to do a podcast with me? I know. I'm sorry to spring it
about
on
now, Mick Ronson.
I should say, to be fair, I already do about 700 other podcasts.
Yeah, you do loads. Yeah.
Anyway, I was in about 100. I'm doing publicity for the moment for my tour.
Sleep and, one.
Publicity my tour at the moment.
Oh, I see what you mean. So
and I'm doing
loads
of other people's podcasts.
Right.
I also do host two other podcasts already, the Sleeping with David Baddiel one.
Yeah, I saw that,
Which is about insomnia. And then I am a sometimes host of the Penguin podcast, which is about books. But this would be the first one if I do it.
Mm.
And by the way, I'm bringing it up without any sense that it's definitely happening. That would be, I think, a competing podcast in some way, because it would be just me and Faye talking, really.
Right.
I mean, I could possibly come to you with some thoughts about what we should do, what we should call it. But, you know, I feel worried about it from our point of view.
And now we go into Rock and Roll Suicide.
Yeah.
Because you've announced on stage.
Well, I don't know if I have, because I think the thing about this podcast...
I'll do interviews in a few years saying, and I genuinely didn't know anything about this, and David just told me on the podcast.
Yeah, on air, live on air.
With the late Faye Ripley.
Although one other thing about podcasts is that, you know, you can basically do as many of them as you like.
I think that's right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not like scheduled radio or indeed television. You know, it's an infinite amount of space.
Is this your justification for it?
No, I'm saying I don't think it's the end of this podcast.
No.
What I do think is that mine and Faye's podcast might be more successful.
I don't doubt that for a minute.
Yeah, I think it
might
be.
What's it about?
Well, we don't know yet.
Oh, I see.
She had never an idea. She had one idea, which was it should be called Trending and just be about me and her talking about trending topics on the internet.
Right.
And I thought that wasn't a bad idea, but...
But do you know each other well?
Yeah, she's an old friend of mine.
Okay, right.
And actually, it was partly, which is a little bit like me and you, really, it was partly her ringing up and saying, look, I've been trying to organise a sort of social event with you for about 2 years, and we seem to have not done it. The easier thing to do is do a work thing together.
Because
if we do some kind of work thing together, we will meet up and hang out.
Yes.
And so, what about a podcast?
Yeah.
But then... Morwenna, actually, my wife, thought of something which I'd forgotten, which is a Faye Ripley, as well as being an actress, if anyone who doesn't know, by the way, which you should know, she's the probably most famous for Cold
brilliant.
Feet.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a brilliant actress. She was in Cold Feet.
And a lovely person. I met her a couple of times.
She's a lovely person. Yeah. Very, very funny.
I might do a podcast with her, actually, at some point.
And also has done some weird sort of shows like you might have done. Like she's a show called Sofa Melt, which was a sort of parody of a daytime show, but was actually a daytime show.
She's been a guest on a couple of shows we did. I think she was on... Anyway, we did an Alan Carr pilot, and this is what you do in TV land, isn't it? All these things that never see the light of day. I think she might have done the Mo Gilligan show at some point.
Yes, all that. Nasty. Anyway, she is also a cook. Do you know that?
I don't think I did know that.
Yeah, I mean, she's not, you know.
I can cook too, by the way.
Yeah, well, no, she's a proper cook. Right. I mean, she hasn't got her own show or anything, but she has got cookbooks that do quite well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so Morwenna said, why don't you do a podcast where she kind of teaches you to cook, which I took quite badly because I can cook.
Right, can you?
Not like a proper
cook.
Why
does she say that then?
Well, when I say I can cook, I mean I can do the seven or
eight
dishes that I do.
Let's start with the extreme end of that.
Yeah.
Tanya Ramsey, Gordon Ramsay's wife,
yeah,
is not going to say, oh yeah, that's a good idea, you should do a thing to learn to cook. Obviously he can cook.
Yes,
so you're
that would
not
be a really
that
weird moment. I think Gordon would worry
that
something had happened to Tanya if she said that.
Right, so you're not...
Or she was taking the piss.
Right, so you're not that.
No.
So there obviously is something about your cooking that's
at
not...
the end of I can cook spectrum, no. Morwenna is not Tanya Ramsay.
I mean, just out of interest, what would you... If I said, what would you cook?
For you.
Well, yeah, but... Like, what do you think?
For English breakfast. I could cook that. Okay, so things I can cook. For English breakfast.
Yeah. That's heating up, but yes.
No, that's cooking.
Oh, well, like scrambled eggs, you mean...
Well, fried
anyway,
eggs.
I mean,
mainly fried eggs, yeah. Bacon, sausage, beans.
Okay.
And I'm quite well known on the internet in my little world for having full English breakfast.
Yeah.
Very few of which I've cooked myself.
Yeah,
occasionally I do post one that I've cooked myself. Most of the time I've
compiled them.
I've curated them, really,
right,
from hotel buffets. But that's a sort of cooking.
Yeah.
Spaghetti of various types.
Okay, with a sauce.
With a sauce, yeah. I make my own sort of cheese one.
Okay, how do you do that?
With cheese.
Okay, what'd you do?
Well, I once had a cacio e pepe. Do you know what that is?
That's a shame. And you need... Right.
Do you know?
No.
You say that's a shame. Yeah. Yes, I needed the tiger powder.
No.
It's a sort of peasant dish where you take the spaghetti water and you add a bit of... You pour that into the spaghetti. I don't mean...
Yeah.
I know it's already there.
Yeah.
I mean, you take a bit out and then you pour it back into the spaghetti after it's been drained, and then you add cheese and pepper, and that's a... Cacio e pepe.
How do you add the cheese? Just that when you say you add the cheese,
yeah,
what,
don't push
like
me on it?
Like mozzarella or what? No, like
I think I use any cheese I can find.
Okay, and it sort of forms a sort of sauce.
Not a sort of sauce. It forms a sauce. Yeah, I'd call it a sauce.
Okay,
I can also do spaghetti with tomato sauce and pesto and bolognese. So I can do those things.
So
I can do all that. Roast chicken, lamb with potatoes. I can do all that, and some soups.
Yeah, soups are great. I'm cooking soups at the moment.
I can do soups. What sort of soups do you do?
I do a sort of... I basically do everything, vegetables, whatever's hanging around.
Right.
You know, so do the stock.
Right. I
sweat
the
onions.
I don't really do stock. I don't really sweat onions.
No, I don't make... the thing to do is
to
sweat...
You know what I sweat? The small stuff.
Yeah, that does
tiny onions.
Yeah. Shallots.
Shallots. That's the one I was looking for. Yeah.
I don't think they are tiny onions, actually, but they look... pea soup.
Button onions. Button mushrooms.
Pea soup, carrot soup. It's great, isn't it? But I tell you what's changed my life is the hand mixer.
Okay.
So in other words, you don't need to pour it into a liquidizer. So the pan that it's cooked in, you just put your hand mixer in and it turns it into soup.
Okay.
That really is brilliant.
Got somewhere in a cupboard, I don't think I ever use it, a blender that is also a heater.
Yeah, okay.
That is a soup maker.
Yeah.
So you basically put stuff in that, you blend
it,
and it heats up and soup. It's amazing, but I never use it. Looks it's an amazing idea, never use it.
Wonder why you don't use it.
Shit. So anyway, I thought what we could do is maybe she could teach me to cook a dish every day.
Okay,
every podcast.
Yeah.
And then maybe we could also talk about stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway.
That sounds good. I worked on a food and drink program. You know that? I
produced the food and the drink.
Yeah, recipes. So I know what recipes are. You know, it's fun doing recipes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I now think you're sounding a little bit like we're working through this information with, okay, so maybe if I help David into his new podcast, I won't feel so hurt.
Oh, I see,
yeah. That's what it feels a little bit
like. Yeah.
But, I mean,
We could do cooking on this, David.
No, we couldn't. There's no oven in the shed. We'd have to go to the kitchen.
Right.
And also, neither of us is a cook.
That's what's so special about it.
Yeah, I'm exploiting Faye's brand, which you weren't aware of.
I wasn't aware, but I mean, she's brilliant.
She is
so,
a cook.
Yeah.
So having said that, I don't know that cooking podcasts are really a thing, because you would think they were.
Yeah.
You would think they were, because you think cooking is such a thing.
Mm.
I was on Sunday Brunch on Sunday.
Yeah.
And one of endless cooking shows on TV. But actually, it's an interesting thing, because it seems to be a visual... People assume it's a visual medium.
Yes.
Because they think, like, well, no one's going to listen to a cooking show because they want to see the thing that you're making. Right, and certainly there's a sort of pornographic element, isn't there, to food.
Yeah, to looking at it makes you, it sort of makes you respond to it. You know,
yeah, you want to make that because you see it or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a start, there are people with impaired vision. They're presumably watching the cooking shows. Let's not exclude them.
I mean, who said I was excluding them?
Well, they can't see it.
No, they can't see it. Yeah. So it's a podcast for them.
For them, it's essentially a podcast. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I see what you mean. It's yes.
Yeah. So I assume there are blind people who are really interested in cooking.
Yeah, my daughter's calling.
Is she? Okay.
Hi, Donna. I'm just on the podcast.
Hi, Ava.
Hi.
Hi, this is David Baddiel, who I do a podcast with your father. Can I say I really like lavender? I mean, I don't mean the scent or the flower. I mean your song. I mean a lot. Because I listen to quite a lot of things on Spotify by people who I think, oh, yeah, I'll like this, because I've sort of been led there by the Sunday Times music. And it's almost always rubbish. Particularly, it sort of sounds good, a lot of that stuff, by sort of things that sound a bit like your song. But your song has actually got like a really, really strong melody to it, and I kind of can't get it out of my head. I'm slightly obsessed with it. So my main issue is that your dad gave me the impression that you weren't doing any more. Oh, you are? Okay. So, because, like, as a fan, I would be disappointed with that.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if he says things to you like, well, maybe don't focus on the pop career, let's talk about university and stuff, can you ignore that and say, no, David Baddiel wants to hear more songs?
Sure.
Okay, brilliant. All right, thank you very much. Get on with it.
Bye, darling.
Bye.
That's Ava Hinks.
That's Ava Hinks.
We should say, who's got
Ava
a song Hinks. On Spotify.
I should say, he's got a song on Spotify. I mean, we should play it. Let's play.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Let's play a bit of it. I mean, if you can't advertise your own
on a tiny podcast,
on a tiny podcast, but which is about music, then I don't know what it's for. Ava Hinks, your 17-year-old daughter?
Yes, she's 17.
Okay, let's just hear a bit of Lavender.
Oh, what's happened there?
Okay, is this Ezra? Who is doing this?
What is that?
This is my son. I reckon this is my son. Right.
What is calling
this
you?
This is my son. No, because this song is called Fuck Off. Right. And my son is able to control my Spotify wherever he is. I don't know how he does it, but definitely have sent through a song called Fuck Off by Tierra Whack. I'm going to call him now and find out if he did that. I mean, this is an amazing...
It's become quite domestic.
But, yeah, but I like the fact that I'm trying to play your daughter's song and my son has interrupted it on Spotify with a song called Fuck Off. Hello, Ezra.
Hello, David.
Hi, Ezra. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I was just playing Lavender by Ava Hinks on my Spotify and a song called Fuck Off suddenly interrupted it. Do you know anything about that?
No.
Don't know? Tell me the truth. Yeah, so...
Right, it breaks down easily.
So the good
it?
Thing is, I was actually playing it on the podcast. I was actually recording it on the podcast to show how much I like it and that Tim's daughter is a great singer. And it was interrupted by you with a song called Fuck Off by Tierra Whack.
That's fantastic.
Who is Tierra Whack?
I don't know, I just searched Fuck Off.
Wow.
I knew instantly it was you. Well, there we go. Well, at least it was funny. I'll see you later, all right? Arsenal-Chelsea.
See you, Ezra.
Cheers.
See you, mate. That's so funny. So our kids are basically...
Warring, in a
warring,
way.
Warring.
That's so Ezra. He also... I'll tell you what he does do a lot.
He calls you
well.
David, not Dad.
Always calls me David, which I think he learned a little bit. Well, actually, I think that's just a thing that slightly stroppy teenage boys do with their dads, but I think he also learned it from The Simpsons, where Bart's always calling Homer. He is always also, I should tell you, which he didn't do just then, but I thought he might, making fun of me and you.
Okay, right. Doing a podcast?
No. He thinks I'm in love with you.
Okay, are you?
Yes, I am. I am in love with you. I am. I mean, just, you know, to balance the thing about doing another podcast with Faye Ripley, you should know I am in love with
you. I want you to experiment.
But, no, but I think you're... Because over the years, Ezra's only sort of known the people that I talk about.
Yeah, of course,
For like, oh, that's like people he's known for ages. You're the first new person that I talk about as in a sort of affectionate way. And I think Ezra, because he wants to always take the piss out of me,
yes.
has taken that and made it into a dance man crush.
Okay, right,
is
right,
Tim
right.
Hinks. Right. So, you know, sometimes we're like we were playing a Christmas game over the Christmas, yeah. And it's a game called Psych, and you have to write in your phone answers to questions. But one and everyone sits around and puts different answers in.
Right.
But sometimes the questions are, what would X say, and it's one of the members of your group, if this happened? So one of the questions was, you know, what would David say if this happened? And all Ezra's answers were, I love Tim Hinks. I'm going to see Tim Hinks. What would Tim
Hinks
say?
That's so strange that'd be happening when I'm just having my Christmas, not knowing about it, and that's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of Ezra's...
That's lovely. Yeah. I feel pleased to be there. Is it like a real obsession, or is it?
Well, is mine a real obsession? No.
Okay, it's just a sort of.
No, I don't think I don't think I'm going to stalk you or.
Okay, we don't need to, do you? That's what.
No, you don't need. No, I mean, you love me, don't you?
I do love you very much.
There we go. So everything's fine.
I do.
I mean, if you said no, not really, and it's but kind I think of an imbalance.
The thing that's been on my mind is also the thing that happened before the podcast is that I said, oh, well, I fancy a cup of tea, and we just got going. And you said you were drinking a coffee and I could share it.
Yeah, but you didn't want to do that.
No.
Which I think suggests you don't love me all that much.
No, that's what made me think of it. Yeah. I thought, oh, yeah, I'll share your coffee. And I thought, I don't know.
No, you look quite repulsed by the idea.
I'll tell you the thing that made me change my mind, because I was up for it, is the fact that it's frothy.
Yeah.
And somehow I think the frothy bit...
It's not my saliva.
No, but somehow it felt more unhygienic.
Because it's froth.
Somehow.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Why is that?
Well,
it feels like the transference of bacteria would be more enabled by froth.
Yeah,
somehow.
Maybe. I mean, I'd
crawl across
it. Have to do quite a lot of spectrometer-like tests on it to work that out.
It's the fact that it feels like, as you are now, you're drinking it, that you're touching quite a lot of the froth.
Yeah, so the surface area of coffee to mouth is enlarged by the froth.
Exactly.
It's a really good point.
And I feel
it's a really good point. I think you're right, and any listeners... If you're still listening, I would be interested to know whether generally you would be more happy to share with someone who you were not having sexual relations with.
Right.
So, because I assume that you're more likely to do that. Well, if you're having sex with someone,
you should share everything because.
Well, I'm
for
more likely
reasons.
To drink a drink that Morwenna is drinking.
Yeah, of course.
Than I am that someone I'm not intimate with is drinking, because might as well.
Which is everyone else, by the way, just for the listening.
Yeah, But so forget that.
Yeah.
Just is the question is, does froth on a drink make it less palatable for you to share?
Also, sub-question.
Yeah.
Is there a category, I think there is, a category of things which you feel like when someone says, will you share this, you think, oh, we may have a slight disagreement about whether that's sort of acceptable. So I'll give you an example. The one I'm never sure about, I wear glasses. I'm sure about that.
Yeah, I can see them.
When I see someone's glasses, sometimes I feel like I can borrow their glasses cloth.
Oh, really?
And sometimes I think there's something about but it shouldn't be because there's no...
Hmm. I mean, I'm going to have to put a marker into that and say I've never in my life, and I've worn glasses since I was 9...
Mm.
Seen anyone else with glasses and thought, I'll ask to borrow their glasses cloth. Yeah, because I just assume they don't have a glasses cloth. I know they do exist in the case, but if I'm going to clean my glasses, it's almost always with a tissue. I don't carry a glasses cloth. If you said to me now, having worked through your uncertainty, is this okay, is it not okay? Mm. David, can I borrow your glasses cloth? I would say, what are you talking about? I haven't got one.
I think... That's explained by the fact that I spend a lot more time in offices than you.
Right.
And in an office, you often see people with their glasses, they've got their case next to them, and you probably... I feel like you do.
Is that true, Bella?
Yeah,
people have glasses. And you can see someone with the glasses cloth, which I agree is a rare commodity. More often than not, it's like, I haven't had I know I had a glasses cloth.
Have you got some now?
What?
A glasses cloth?
No.
You don't have a glasses...
In one of my coats, there'll be a glasses cloth. It's one of those things...
Will it be in the case?
No. It'll just be on its own.
I've never done that in my life. If I have a glasses cloth, I don't know if that's a sentence. If I am in the proximity of a glasses cloth, no, is that right? It sounds weird.
Increasingly like the lyric of a
If it will only be because I've got the case. And it's normally the one moment I have it
is when
the optician has given me my new glasses. After that, I have no idea where the glasses cloth is.
No, what I think... is that you take the glasses cloth.
Yeah.
You don't carry the glasses case around. Too cumbersome.
Yeah.
So you take the cloth and think that will come in handy. And then what you do is every now and again, it's a bit like poo bags for dogs.
Mm.
You'll just find them in a coat. Think, oh, right, that's my glasses cloth. I never quite know where it is.
I have a David Bowie thing.
Oh, good. So have I.
This morning, thought to myself, well, never mind the fact that I've been offered a more successful podcast.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going with this one. And
I think you should do that one, whatever.
And
I'm confident you won't enjoy it as much.
Key thing with this one, let's see, is, let's see what Ezra says, you love Faye Ripley, that you do. Anyway, is I ended up listening randomly to Lodger this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't because I thought, I've got a thing, but I just thought, oh, I don't know what to do for the podcast. I'll listen to Lodger.
Yeah.
And then there were numerous things about it that struck me.
Amazing.
Number one, it's a weird title.
Yep.
Like, it's such a mundane thing.
Yep.
Like, who has a lodger?
Right, right.
Actually, our friend Sarah, who lives in Cornwall, she has three lodgers.
Okay.
But even that, I remember thinking, oh, you got lodgers, you know.
Is lodgers quite a 70s word? Is it an old-fashioned word as
Yeah, it's quite an old-fashioned idea.
Because what would you call it now? Would you still call someone a lodger?
I don't know, but if you think about his albums... Right, Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, Diamond Dogs, Heroes.
Yeah.
These are all quite grand or wacky, futuristic.
Yeah, yeah.
Lodger is something you see in the back of the Exchange of Mart or would have done at the time.
Right,
you know? It's a weird thing. Mm. I mean, the album, it's got the weird cover on it, which was created, I read about this, did you know this, by having a pane of glass on his face that gave him a sort of broken nose thing. Yeah. But it's also got a postcard on it.
Yep.
And that postcard says Lodger on it. Mm. And the reason for that is the album, in Bowie's mind, was about travel.
That's right.
So I sort of wondered if Lodger is something to do with that, is that like is not is. Having permanent status or
that's right.
whatever. Moves so he's like a Lodger in life. Yeah.
There's lots of travel references in that album, that's right.
So I followed these things, as one does, and I discovered in a book called Outside the Lines, that is the book where all the information about how that cover was created is available.
Okay.
Unfortunately, when I actually... looked on Outside the Lines on Amazon, I couldn't find it, but I did find this, which I just thought was interesting. Outside the Lines, How Embracing Queerness Will Transform Your Faith, by Mahi Kim Court.
Wow.
And it says Mahi Kim Court is a wife, a mum, and a Presbyterian minister, and she's queer. And she, as she became aware of her queer sexuality, Mihi wondered what that meant for her spirituality. But instead of pushing her away from God, it brought her closer to Jesus and taught her how to love better. I think that's quite an unusual book, isn't it?
Gosh, that's an extraordinary book,
yeah. I mean, I almost bought it.
Have you?
I didn't buy it.
Right.
How Embracing Queerness
Will Transform Your Faith. Sorry, tell me again how that's linked to...
Outside the Lines
is
a book that I can't find.
Yeah, but this is
which
also
is about
that.
How various albums, covers in the 70s were created.
What does that even refer to?
I don't know. Mm. No idea what it's called. Why that book is called Outside the Lines. And Outside the Lines has a whole section on the cover of...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lodger with these pictures. Yes. I saw these on another website of Bowie lying on the ground, the pane of glass being put on him, and all that.
Yeah.
So I thought, actually, this looks like quite an interesting book. I might buy it. Amazon Outside the Lines, and all I can find is How Embracing Queerness Will Transform Your Faith, which is definitely not the same book.
It doesn't feel like it. No,
it's definitely not the same book.
No.
So that's one thing that happened.
I mean. Lodger, for many people, Lodger's a slightly forgotten album.
Hmm.
And for the reasons you say, not just the title, but because it is a sort of odd collection of songs in some ways, and he's experimenting with, you know, it's almost like it's Scary Monsters in the making, because it's got a really new wave feel. It's got some big songs on it, isn't it? It's got DJ, it's got Look Back in Anger.
I think the second half, which has got most of the famous songs on it, DJ, Look Back in Anger, Boys Keep Swinging, Repetition, which, as you know, I really like on it. Those are all the great songs. The earlier part of it is not so good.
I would say Fantastic Voyage is maybe my favourite. One of my favourite Bowie songs, top five.
Okay, I'm okay with Fantastic Voyage. Okay,
extraordinary vocal.
Although I believe, this just occurs to me now, is it the same title or a very similar title as a film I was slightly obsessed with when I was a child, maybe called Fantastic Journey, about a dog, a cat, and another animal.
Yeah.
What would it have been? Another dog, perhaps? Dog. Who go on a trip.
It might be two dogs and a cat.
Yes. Is it called Fantastic Voyage or is it called
Fantastic Journey, I think. It's a
Fantastic
Disney
Journey.
Film, isn't it?
Let's have a look.
I remember watching that.
I was really obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Fantastic Journey film. The Fantastic Journey film, Fantastic Voyage, is a science fiction film. I was also obsessed with that.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Rings a bell.
That's a film with Raquel Welch, I think, in it.
Okay.
About a submarine crew who shrink to microscopic size the body of somewhere.
Before that of someone. Film that
so that's,
did it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Okay.
But what is the one with the animals?
Is it not Fantastic Journey? Or have you tried Fantastic?
I'm looking for it.
Okay.
The Incredible Journey.
Incredible Journey.
Quite different. But The Incredible Journey is with two dogs and a cat.
Yeah.
They do meet a bear later on.
Sure.
Three Against the Wilderness, it's called. And I think, it'd be worth watching now to see the terrible, I imagine, animated animal. Because animals actually talk to each other in it, I think.
I thought it was live action and they just do voices.
No, it's live action. Right. Or do they just voice over?
I think it's like animal magic, I think.
Okay.
Like, there's a voice, I think.
I mean, should we watch a bit of it?
Sure.
Now, from Walt Disney, master of the unique, comes one of the most unusual and exciting adventures of our time, The Incredible Journey. Starring three of the most unlikely, the most incredible companions ever teamed for adventure on the motion picture screen. Lua, the rugged Labrador retriever, the hunter, born to be a leader. Bodger, the old, the wise, the battle-scarred bull terrier. And Teo, the shrewd, the sassy Siamese cat. Three intrepid travelers who survived the incredible journey.
He's not quite right. Three of the most unlikely companions. I think he means two, effectively. He means a cat and a dog.
No, I think he thinks, incorrectly, because there'd been many movies by then already with animals in them.
But if
I think
two
he's
dogs
saying,
together...
I think he's,
that's fine.
I think he's no. I don't think he's saying that their companionship is incredible.
Right. Okay.
I think he's saying it's incredible because this is a film with just animals in it.
Right. Right.
And
okay.
I don't think that is incredible. No. But I do remember it very clearly.
Yeah.
So I was going to mention African Night Flight.
Yeah.
Now I don't know when I heard African Night Flight in my early life, but I hadn't heard it for a long time since this morning. And I mean, not only could I not get through it, it made me go mad. Can we just listen to
a
bit?
Yeah. No, it's quite a hard song. Yeah.
Slept to the nearest bar, and a man Sherman went too far. Went on and went for rent, a sorry wonder how the dollar went down. Gotta get a word to Elizabeth's father. Hey, oh, he wished me well. Seems like an everyday I could fly into the eye of God on high. His
I mean, there's some songs.
No, it's kind of.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean, I'll tell you another song that does that.
On that album?
No, another song is, do you know Bike by Pink Floyd?
Yes.
Do you know the end of Bike by Pink Floyd?
Probably, but I can't.
Okay, so Bike ends like this, right? I mean, it's quite mad in general. Mm. I like Bike much more than I like African Night Flight, but it does the same thing, which is make me feel slightly mad. I got a bike, you can ride it if you like it. You know that song?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so the end of it goes like this.
Right.
It just repeats those ducks.
Yeah, okay.
Going, rah, 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 rah. And after a while, you think, I am going to explode with that duck sound. And I think African Night Flight's a bit like that.
Yeah.
You sort of want to say, stop singing like that, David, please.
I know what you mean. Because it's that and Red Sails and The Assassin, there's three sort of... You see, in a way, you'd say about that album, they've got what would be called world music now, right?
Yes, I know that he was ahead of the game with world music.
But I agree that song is just quite indigestible.
Yeah.
And it's also got... I think about songs like that thinking he definitely didn't strum that on his guitar and bring it into the studio and say it goes like this.
No.
It's sort of made in the studio and it's sort of a bit indulgent and, not a favourite.
Yes. So, Assassin, I also had an issue with. Like we've done this before with other songs, but what? Actually, it's probably around about the same time.
Hmm.
What TV theme tune do I think is very similar to Yassassin? What is it?
Yeah, it's a good spot. If it's what, are you thinking Grange Hill?
It's Grange Hill. Yeah. It's
that's
so Grange Hill, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's
I'm
very
now
going to
play
yeah.
Grange Hill.
That's a good spot.
Because it's, I can't believe I hadn't seen it before. I mean, it's possible that Phil Redmond did nick it, because I think...
Yeah.
I don't know, you're the television person, but yeah. When did Grange Hill start?
I don't know whether Phil Redmond nicked it.
No, we can't say that.
Grange Hill start feels like it started... It's a good question. Well, Lodger is 79.
Yeah.
78, 79. Oh, I think it might be around... It's certainly around the same time. Does Grange Hill start in 1980?
See, I think it's the 80s, Grange Hill.
Yeah.
81. No, the show began on 8th of February 1978.
Okay.
So when did Lodger come out? I mean, this might have been a real thing.
I think it was 78, was it?
Oh, dear. I put in Lodger, not Bowie, and I got taking a Lodger. What you need to think about first.
Well, that's your point, though, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah, that is my point. Yeah.
You don't get that with Ziggy Stardust, do you?
No. So Lodger was originally released in May 1979, so I think it's entirely possible, I'm afraid,
that
David, especially with a young child, as he might have had then...
But also his whole travel thing, and I went around the world getting set. No, you didn't. You heard Grange Hill.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you did.
I think Duncan would have been watching Grange Hill around about then. I don't forget his age right there, necessarily.
I don't think he would have been.
No, he wouldn't have been. He was born, though. Yeah, he was born, because remember that photograph of him in the pram?
Yeah. I know he was born.
Yeah, he was born. Anyway, it's entirely possible that it was a massive show that David had seen Grange Hill and the Assassin was influenced by that.
There's another song on there called Move On.
Yes.
Do you know what that song is if you play it backwards?
Yes, it's All the Young Dudes.
It's All the Young Dudes.
The fact that Move On, which, by the way, has some very shit lyrics about travel in it. Have you actually ever seen the lyrics of Move On?
Yeah, it's quite sort of
It's
naive.
Sort of like a bad postcard by someone on a year off.
Yes.
Because he actually says at one point, Africa is sleepy people, that's Russia has its horsemen, spent some nights in old Kyoto, sleeping on the matted ground, Cyprus is my island when the going's rough. I would love to find you somewhere in a place like that. Love, David.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, no, it's not... But I think he was doing a lot, because Boys Keep Swinging has these sort of mock, naive lyrics. I think he was maybe having fun with that stuff. But
it doesn't make me like the song.
No.
It makes me think, you know what?
It's hard.
That music was better forwards.
Yeah.
That's what it makes
me think. I do like Lodger, because I think it's that way of things when someone's as popular as Bowie... I think you're always looking for little backwaters that even though it's all...
I think Lodger's
definitely one that's kind of still quite cool to like.
That's so correct. It's cool to like, but also Lodger is a good example of an album that I've probably returned to about 7 times.
Yeah.
Thinking, I'm a massive David Bowie fan.
Yes.
This is an album I've never quite got my head around.
Yeah.
Surely I can find my way into it. And every time I think, I just like the 4 songs I like on it.
Yeah.
One thing it did lead me to... Which is an interesting thing that we've never really talked about. And you would have thought, how can there be anything we haven't talked about?
Mm.
But I discovered there were videos for songs on Lodger that I'd never seen.
Okay.
So for example, there's a video for Look Back in Anger.
Yeah, I think I know that.
Do you know what it is? It's a painting video.
Okay.
It's a really weird painting video. David's in a sort of attic, not at all dissimilar. And I sort of wonder if this is deliberate to the one that he's in Lazarus, a sort of 80s version of the one that he's in Lazarus,
right,
with a bed in it and a cupboard.
Okay.
And a big easel.
Oh, wow, maybe that's the...
A big easel on which he has painted, or David, he might be playing a character, David has painted a sort of angel version of himself.
Gosh.
And then gradually, throughout the video, he gets more and more covered in paint.
Mm.
That's basically that thing. I've never seen that video before.
No, because they were just doing... Because that was the sort of birth of the video. I mean, I guess he was making those videos for release. Although that was for which song? Sorry, that was
Look
for,
Back in Anger. Was that even released
it was
as
a single?
Single?
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
I think I'm pretty sure it was.
Sort of amazing that was released as a single, because
sure
it's quite difficult to listen to. DJ, I have seen, but only ages ago, the video for DJs. I quite like the video for DJs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got quite a lot of David's acting in it.
Yeah.
In fact, I started watching David's videos.
Yes.
Ones I hadn't really watched. I'm Afraid of Americans I watched too, which has got loads of acting in
right,
it.
Right, right.
I think it's him being chased by Trent Reznor through the streets of New York.
Okay.
With a lot of him doing looking around acting, yeah, I'm Slightly Frightened acting. But the thing I wanted to bring to your attention is in DJ, it is just called DJ, isn't it? Yeah. I think it's the first sighting of something which I do think is the nadir of David Bowie. It's the worst thing that David Bowie ever did. And that is the Macintosh that he's also wearing. Or is it him or is
in
it Mick Jagger?
In the street.
In Dancing in the Street.
He wears a Macintosh in Dancing in the Street. Yeah, yeah. I think
the Macintosh
like
in Dancing in the Street represents the worst moment.
Do you know what
David
I think he
Bowie.
Was doing? I think that's partly about...
And he wears a Mac in the DJ video.
And I think it's partly about Absolute Beginners, that film he did around that time. I think it's a slightly 50s thing he's capturing, the sort of slightly 50s press man. You know, he wears it in Absolute Beginners.
Like he's in The Sweet Smell of Success.
Somehow, yeah. So right. I think, but I agree, it's not a great look. I mean, I did find, by the way, just going off Lodger for a second, we've talked about Halloween Jack, who we're never quite that comfortable with. It just occurred to me, you are aware, I mean, I think we're both aware, that he describes Halloween Jack in Diamond Dogs properly. So
he's a real cool cat. Halloween Jack is a real cool cat, and he lives on top of Manhattan Chase.
Yeah.
Isn't that a bank?
Manhattan Chase is...
A skyscraper.
Is a bank, but it's an intersection, isn't it?
Don't know. Shall we find that out?
Is Manhattan Chase an intersection?
Chase Manhattan is a bank.
Okay.
Manhattan Chase is an action-adventure video game released in 2005 for Microsoft.
So he lives on top of Manhattan Chase. We're not really sure what that is.
Yeah.
The elevator's broke.
Yes.
So that gives you a sense of the place.
Yeah.
This is all
there's
future level.
Stairs.
So he slides down a rope. Not an obvious thing to do in response to that. I'd say
no,
more likely...
No, how does he get back up again? That's my concern.
That is very
interesting. Because I think you can slide down a rope, although big rope if it's a skyscraper. I think climbing up a rope, very difficult.
Also,
I personally, I don't know if you're a bit younger than me, but in PE, that was one of the things you had to do, was climb up a rope.
Yeah.
I could never do it.
No, really hard.
I couldn't get my arse an inch off where it started.
Yeah, but Halloween Jack could have made light work of it. We don't know. That's what we're being told. Well, that's
just
implied.
As he slides down a rope.
Well, he slides down. So how do you slide down it? Because sliding down a rope is agony.
Well, it hurts. You've got burnt hands. Does he have gloves?
So we're looking for a man with really burnt hands who doesn't say... And then onto the street below.
Yeah.
Tarzy, go, man, go. No, that's the phrase. So he's like Tarzan. So he's like a sort of wild...
On the rope.
He says, the elevator's broke, so he slides down a rope onto the street below. Oh, Tarzy, go, man, go.
Is Tarzy Tarzan?
I've always assumed it's Tarzan.
I've never thought that.
Like going down a vine.
Well, yes.
I'm going with you. What else could it be?
The elevator's broke, so he slides down a rope. Honestly, oh, Tarzy. Yeah, I guess it is Tarzan. Yeah. Who is the person, by the way, with the silicone hump and the 10-inch stump?
That's
someone else.
As you, isn't it? As you.
Me?
As in the song, it's as they pull you out of the oxygen tent,
you ask for
the latest party, all that stuff.
Yes.
Is that the person with the silicone?
Yeah, with the silicone hump and your 10-inch stump dressed like a priest, you was Todd Browning's freak you was. I didn't know that's what it said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's all we've got on Halloween Jack, unless you go on to, it then says, meet his little hussy with his ghost town approach. Is that some friend of his?
Yes, he then goes on to his lover, whose face is sans feature, but she wears a Dali brooch. These are all lyrics, by the way, I have known for years and not known.
No, that's the point.
I didn't know it was Dali brooch. I always thought it was just diamond brooch.
Yeah.
Sweetly reminiscent of something mother used to bake. I know that. Wrecked up and paralysed, the Diamond Dogs are stabilised. I think the truth is that the whole of Diamond Dogs, which is obviously a very, very great song indeed, is just painting a very kind of dystopian, futuristic... Yeah. You know, world falling apart picture.
Yes.
But Halloween Jack within that, he needs to find a different way back to his flat.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's going to get back.
Well,
the elevator's broke.
We definitely...
He can slide down the rope, but I don't think he can get up the rope.
Arguably, could be fixed during the day. He's out. Presumably, he's working somewhere.
In a dystopian universe, that's very unlikely.
Unlikely to be fixed.
Yeah.
The other lyric, which has been playing around my head this week, I was listening to Drive In Saturday.
Yes, good.
Amazing song. And there's obviously a really complex lyric, and there's all sorts of Mad Twig, the Wonder Kid, and all that.
Yes.
But I think I realise I've always been interested in those first few lines because they
sort... Let me put my arms around your head.
Yeah. I suppose I'll just think about what you think might be going on there, because it feels very simple. But firstly, as you say, let me put my arms around your head.
Mm.
What the fuck?
Yes.
Meaning...
Yes.
Let me put my arms around you, I get. Yeah. Let me put my arms around your head.
No, but, well...
Cradling someone?
Well... No, isn't the whole of Driving Saturday a bit like a lot of Bowie lyrics, just slightly fractured?
Yeah,
so it sounds like a normal...
Yeah, I suppose that's why I've been drawn to it.
I mean, to get quite literary for a second, in TSA, it's the love song of JR from Proof Rock. He says, "Let us go then, you and I."
Right.
When the evening is spread out against the sky. So it's all very straightforward, like a romantic poetry. Then he says, like a patient etherized upon a table.
Yes, right.
And the whole point of that is the night sky is not like a patient etherized upon a table. It's a very weird and fractured image that destroys your sense of, you know, what would normally be in a romantic poem.
Right.
I think Bowie's doing the same thing.
Well, maybe
with Let Me Put My Arms Around Your Head.
Dom du R. Okay, that does slightly hook against it, but that's just the backing scene.
Yeah.
Then he says, gee, it's hot, let's go to bed, which is sort of understand.
Yes, although I've always had a sense of worry about that.
Right.
Because I really can't sleep when it's too hot.
Okay, yeah. Is that the place you'd necessarily go?
Yeah, and I immediately start to worry about that. I think, like, oh no, don't be in bed, David, when it's too hot.
Well, I mean,
I've just done, I don't know if you know, a podcast about sleep.
Right.
And one of the first advice you get is try and keep your bedroom cool.
Yeah, okay.
If possible.
Yeah.
You know, even to the point of maybe opening the window and
I'm assuming
air conditioning, you know, because you want to be colder if possible.
Right. But this would be a sheet, wouldn't it? It'd definitely not a sheet.
Of course, about sex rather than
sleeping. Well, I sort of think, I've always thought that is what he meant, but I'm sort of thinking
but then
maybe.
Also, not very attractive.
Too hot to have sex.
Too hot to have
sex. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But it's going to bed. Then he says, don't forget to turn on the light. So we're beginning to get into, you know.
I think it's the same thing, isn't it? It's the same. It's like words that don't quite that slightly jolt you out of what they should be.
So this is the killer for me.
Yeah.
I'm interested in your interpretation of this as a Cambridge graduate of English.
Yeah.
Because he then says, and you can go through, you can listen to this and think it's all going along. Don't laugh, babe. It'll be all right. And you sort of think, fine, I'm getting it. He's looking after it. But I'm thinking, don't laugh about what. And what will be all right? Like, what? And if you're laughing, why would it be all right? Why do you need reassurance?
Isn't that the whole song? The whole song is sentences that are disturbingly not quite
right.
You know, don't laugh, babe. It'll be all right. He's not saying don't cry, babe.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
Isn't that just deliberate, slightly disturbing you out of the normal run?
Yes.
It's a doo-wop song, isn't it? It's a doo-wop 50s song. Those doo-wop 50s songs would have lines in it like, don't cry, babe, it'll be all
right. Right,
but in the weird dystopian universe of Aladdin Sane, it's all slightly wrong.
Yes.
That's what I think it is.
Yeah, and I love it when he uses those structures, because those 50s songs are supposed to be just, you're almost not thinking about them.
Yeah.
So they put you at ease.
Yeah, because, actually, since we've ended up not making fun of it, but doing a genuine literary analysis of it, I think Aladdin Say, his name was always Buddy, and he'd shrug and ask to stay, and she'd sigh like Twid the Wonder Kid and turn her face away. It's full of this kind of yearning for an idea of like American 50s romance that's gone, that doesn't exist anymore. And the singer really wants it to exist anymore, but it doesn't. And so I think he's trying to sort of recreate it, but it's all going wrong. Yeah. It's all sort of slightly nightmarish.
Yes.
That's what I think it is.
Yeah. That's a great note to end on.
Shall we play it? Tell you what.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can get any comedy out of this by seeing if there's a cover of Driving Saturday.
Hard song to cover.
Well, let's see. Driving Saturday cover. Morrissey's done it.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that. He does it live.
Yes.
It's funny because he's playing in the summer. Have you seen that?
Yes, I actually really like his new song. And
I just got a thing, I think I would go to see him if it wasn't for What We Know. And I felt a real pang because I bet it'll be amazing.
His new song is brilliant.
Is it?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
What do we do about that?
I like it. I would, you know, I think just say it. So Driving Saturday by Ian Shore and Clifford Slapper.
Wow.
Clifford Slapper, I think, is quite a famous sort of session. Oh, actually, hang on. Who's this? No, there's a young boy. Let's try this young boy. Okay. He's really young.
Cover by a young...
Is it a young boy or is it a young girl? I'm not sure.
Okay, doing
okay, this person, who I think is a girl, quite an interesting person. I don't know what her name is, but she is dressed as Maxwell Demon. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't know who that is.
Okay, so Maxwell Demon is the character in Velvet Goldmine.
Oh, right, right.
Clearly based on Bowie. Yeah. And the way that she's dressed as Maxwell Demon is just by wearing a tie and a striped shirt and slightly slicking her hair back. So I'm quite impressed with that.
I would like to play a song for you by the wonderful and fantastic David Bowie, who is a great idol of mine. I don't know why I looked up. He's not dead. Not yet. He's never going to die.
Did she say David Bowie's never going to die? This is from 2014, so...
She's just said it. David Bowie's never going to die.
Okay, well, that's good.
God, that's an amazing thing to hear, isn't
that's
it?
That's good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Let me put my arms around your head. Gee, it's hot. Let's go to bed. Don't forget to turn on the light. Don't laugh, babe. It'll be all right. Pull me out another phone. Your friends are home, perhaps the strange ones in the town. us a book we can read up along. Try to get it on like once before. When people stared in Jagger's eyes and scored like the video films we saw.
If you want to watch that.
Yeah, that's and also Maxwell to watch Demons. Someone living in a world where David Bowie is alive and going to live forever. That's yes. something very lovely about that.
That is lovely. Yeah. Yeah. I think you've retrieved yes. the end of this podcast.
Thank you.
With that upbeat note.
Thank you.
We'll see you at the next one.
Thanks for listening. Oh, shit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.